They say, many people do, that life is complicated. And I suppose on different levels that is a true statement. I know sometimes life can be challenging and sometimes life can be, I suppose, very complicated. But on another level, on a level that we want to think about today, life really is very basic. At least there's some very basics that I want us to think about today. I encourage you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read a couple of verses from the Sermon on the Mount that help us see that life, in one very true sense of the word, the very kind of fundamental sense, life is very fundamental. Life is very basic. And when we read this text, we're going to take from this, we're going to draw from this, that Jesus suggests about five different pairs of opposites. And those are some of the fundamentals. Those are just some of the very basic things of life. And not extremely complicated. I didn't say that it was a simplistic lesson that Jesus is teaching here. But our ability to grasp this should not be extremely complicated. Because this is something that's very basic. And that with these opposites, these extremes from one another, you might say, we learn that there are just some basic fundamental choices that we each face, that we each have a choice about, that we each have to make. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, this very familiar text, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there be many who find it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." There are about five opposites that I want us to draw from these two verses. That once again, to reinforce the direction we're taking, that present each and every one of us with just some fundamental choices. Nothing extremely complicated. I didn't say that the lesson wasn't, you know, deeply spiritual, but nothing extremely complicated for us to grasp when Jesus talks about this. First of all, number one, here's a pair of opposites. I want you to notice that there are two and only two inviters, if you want to put it that way. There are only two and only two who invite. Naturally, I think we see that one is Jesus, the other is the devil. And as you, we're drawing some principles out of this, but as you think about the two basic ones who invite us, Jesus and the devil, let's think about each one for just a moment. Jesus is characterized at other places in his ministry where he invites us, other times in lessons and statements he makes to various individuals and groups of people where he invites. In Matthew chapter 11, just a few pages over, Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart or spirit, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." See, Jesus is inviting us to come. All who labor and who are heavy laden, to come to Him. And we have to understand, to accept this invitation of Jesus, to come to Him, kind of ties us to some certain obligations that we need to reciprocate and commit ourselves to. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, coming back to Matthew 7 first, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." So that's a certain obligation that I commit myself to when I accept the invitation of Christ, when I come after Him, when I follow after Him, when I see the choices that He gives me of this way of life, back in verses 13 and 14, this fundamental way of life. And here are the two fundamental basic choices of people who invite us. Jesus, come to me. Satan, also asking us to come to Him.
And so Jesus tells us that we should take up our cross daily. Luke chapter 9. We should take up our cross daily in Luke 9:23 and follow Him. Yet, we also see from this text, Satan invites. We understand that this is just one of those fundamental truths that concerning life and concerning life eternal, there's only two people really doing the inviting. Jesus and the devil. We also know Him as Satan. In other places in the Scripture, He is called the accuser of the brethren, the deceiver, the evil one, the enemy, the father of lies, the god of this world, a murderer, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the tempter, the dragon, the serpent, the roaring lion, among other things. This is the other one who invites. This is the other one who wishes for us to follow Him. The one who is responsible for our pain, our death, our sorrow, our sadness, temptation, and all the heartache that is connected with the lifestyle that He invites us to. Do not be mistaken. Satan, the devil, the accuser of mankind, the murderer from the beginning, is a real being. And he really is inviting us to follow Him, just like Jesus does. He really is inviting us. And He is real. We live in a world today where the distinction between right and wrong has almost disappeared. And that's because the distinction about Jesus and Satan have almost disappeared. We live in a world, it should be no surprise to us when you live in a world where so many people say there is no God, that they also understand or believe or advocate there is no devil. And if there is neither one of those, well, what are you left with? And yet we have to understand that Jesus is real. God is real. The Spirit of God is real. But so is the devil. And just like Jesus is inviting us, just like Jesus wants us to come to Him, to follow Him, the devil is inviting. The devil wants us to come to Him. The devil wants us to follow Him. Do not be deceived, because that is one of Satan's great works, is to deceive us into following Him. To deceive us into believing things that are not true. To deceive us into believing that it won't be as bad as he says it is, or as others say that it is. Or it won't last as long. Or you can stop any time. Or you don't have to live this way. Just do it temporarily for the fun of the thrill of the moment. Do not be deceived. There are two, and really only two, basic ones who invite us. When we come back to our text here, there's a second set of opposites that we want to think about. That there are two, really only two, basic messages. There are really only two basic messages. Number one is truth. Number two is false. Number one is true teaching of the Scripture. Number two is false teaching by false teachers. And when we look at our text again, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, you see that there are just two fundamental ways, two fundamental directions that we can choose for our life. And we have to understand that these two different ways are based on these two fundamental messages, one being true, one being false. So which one will I choose? There's the one that is true, the message of the Bible, God's truth, God's way. In the 100th not the 119th Psalm. I will quote that in a moment. We will look at that in a moment, but not just yet. But in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now, you have to understand that truth can be known. We can know whether we know the truth. And since truth can be known, then it needs to be obeyed. It needs to be followed. There's a choice that we have of accepting or refusing to accept the truth. And Jesus says, "You shall know the truth." And then we have a great choice to make about obeying the truth. The Apostle Peter's letter, first letter, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 tell us, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto genuine love for the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." You see, we purify our souls when we obey the truth given through the Spirit, that incorruptible Word. And we walk in the truth, we faithfully follow the truth, and the truth is that standard. God's message, God's Word is that standard by which we will ultimately be judged on the last day. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So there's one of the fundamental messages, truth. But the other one is, really there are only two, what is true and what is false. The other one is, what is false? False doctrine, false teaching. The Bible tells us in the 119th Psalm, verse 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Truth can be known. If truth could not be known, then how would we ever know what is false? How would we ever have anything to compare truth to, a standard to, that we'll be judged by on the last day, to know that something is different? Something is not the same. Something is true, something is false. These are the two basic messages. These are the two basic fundamental choices that we have. Truth, false. I know it's quite popular among certain circles in the world today to talk about fake news. But I want to tell you, long before that came into popularity in our culture, there was a such thing as fake news. And it was all organized, implemented by Satan. You see, what is false comes from the devil. That message that we hear sometimes, that we are deceived into buying into, comes from Satan. And this basic message is one that is false. Jesus tells us, and when we come back to Matthew chapter 7, again toward the couple of verses later, Matthew 7, 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you as in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." See, there's something false in this world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But these are false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord who bought them." You see, there is such thing as false. We are encouraged in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, to believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they come from God. In other words, to see whether they are true or whether they are false. Those are the two fundamental messages. One that is false, one that is true. And now, once again, we see that we have the choice of which one we're going to follow. Number three. Here's another pair of opposites. First of all, we see that there are two inviters. Second of all, there are two messages. But third, we see that there are two gates. When you look at our text, particularly, these first two ideas are really principles that I think we're drawing from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, but specifically from this text, not just in principle, we see that there are two gates. You'll notice that Jesus talks about the narrow gate, and he talks about the wide gate. There are two gates. In the King James Version, it calls it the straight gate, S-T-R-A-I-T. And that word you may recognize just a little bit as a definition, at least in our society today, of a narrow passageway between two bodies of water. You know, a strait of water between two larger bodies of water. That means it's something narrow. It's not very wide. It's something that is narrow, and I don't think Jesus used this word by accident. I think Jesus was very deliberate when he's talking about the two gates here. And this first one is the narrow gate, the straight gate. And he used it to emphasize this idea we're talking about of fundamental basic choices. And this straight gate, this narrow gate, this word that Jesus uses describes it as such to show us not just anything can get through there. Not just anything is going to pass. Not just anything is acceptable. And yet we live in a world today where in the religious society at large that there is an idea that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. I believe, yes, we have to be sincere. The Bible is very clear about that. But according to Jesus, not everything is going to pass through. Because the gate is narrow. We are sometimes regarded as narrow people for teaching these kind of truths. If we are narrow, then Jesus was narrow first. But I think we all understand fairly clearly that truth, fundamental basic truth, is narrow. If you want to listen to 100.3 on the radio station, where do you need to put your radio? On 100.3. You see, it's a narrow band if you want to find what you're looking for. In math classes, truth is narrow. You go to algebra class, geometry class, trigonometry, calculus, differential equations. There are formulas in all of those classes for how you arrive at the answer to the problem. How you achieve the solution to the dilemma or the problem. And all of those answers are narrow. Just one answer fits. Just one answer works. That's narrow. You know why? Because truth is narrow. Truth is definitive. Truth is absolute. There are some in our world today who say that there is no such thing as absolute truth, and by doing that, they completely contradict themselves because they make an absolute statement by saying, I know there is nothing that I can know. Well, how do you know that? How do you know there is no absolute truth? Aren't you making an absolute statement when you say there is no absolute truth? It's a contradiction within itself. Jesus said, narrow is the gate. But the opposite of that is broad is the gate. Wide is the gate. There is a narrow gate. And then verse 13 says, there is a wide gate. That wide gate obviously would include everything except the narrow. That wide gate is so wide that it is everything except the narrow gate. This is where those people with the philosophy of anything goes and anything matters and so on, this is where they find themselves. But we see from the ultimate conclusion by Jesus, these fundamental choices between the wide and the narrow go very different directions. So let's move ahead and let's look at a fourth pair of opposites in here, and that is the two ways. Number one, there are two and only two who invite. And secondly, there are two and really only two basic messages. Third, there are two and only two gates. But fourth, there are two and really only two ways. You see, this narrow gate, we learn, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. See, there is the difficult way, or some translations say, or the narrow way. And there is the broad way. These are just two fundamental choices. Two basic fundamental ways. You see, there is the narrow way. Some translations say the difficult way. It is not as easily navigated because it's a little more challenging. I mean, after all, if it doesn't matter and anything goes, then you can do whatever you want. But if there are certain fundamental truths that we have to hear and believe and obey and follow and practice faithfully, then there's a little more challenge to it. That's the difficult way. That's the narrow way. And it's hemmed in by the Word of God. You may recall also from the 119th Psalm, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, the Word of God leads me down that path. Not just anything. Not the philosophy of men, or not what is popular at the moment. But it's the Word of God that leads me down that right path. The 119th Psalm also says this in verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of your words give light and give understanding to the simple." You may recall some of the final words of the Bible in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." You see, it is the difficult way. It is the narrow way. It is the challenging way, because not just anything's going to go. Not just anything's going to fit. Not just any way of life is acceptable. You see, this way is too narrow for the kind of immorality that's talked about in the Bible. Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings. You see, the narrow, difficult way is not big enough for those things to fit. Those traveling on this way take their stand against sin, take their stand against error. We have to take our stand against what is wrong. We have to stand against atheism, abortion, homosexuality, denominationalism, and all of the other false truths and teachings that so prominently figure in to the world and into our culture. We must stand for the truth. Difficult is the way. But that other fundamental choice is what's called the broad way. The wide gate leads to the wide road. You can see just by the very picture that Jesus is painting with these simple words how, well, there's lots of room here. And lots of things can go. And lots of things will pass there. Because it's everything that's not included. It's every other way other than the narrow way. You see, it's the way that's talked about in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That brings us to the fifth and final pair of opposites here, that there are two and only two destinies. There are two inviters. There are two messages. There are two gates. There are two ways. But these all end up at one of only two and only two destinies. There is what Jesus calls the destiny of life, and there is what Jesus calls the destiny of destruction. Notice Jesus says that in verse 14, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life. Verse 13, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So life or destruction. That's the fundamental basic choice that all men have. Concerning life, Jesus Himself calls Himself in John 6:35 the bread of life. In Revelation 22:17, we're promised the water of life. In that same chapter, in verse 14, it talks about the tree of life. In John 5:40, Jesus rebukes some who would not come to Him so that they might have life. In John 6:68, Jesus is said to have the words of eternal life. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus promises a crown of life to those who were faithful and overcome. In Matthew 25:46, the righteous on the right side shall go away into life eternal. Life. Life with Jesus. But then there's the other way, which is destruction. The broad way that leads there. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Concerning those who make that choice, the text says they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy, destruction, both soul and body in hell. So there is, in this text, in principle, and in the text itself, five fundamental pairs of opposites that present each and every one of us with five fundamental choices. Really, when you boil it all down to it, there's only two choices. Right and wrong. God or anything else. Salvation through Jesus or anything else. The song that you marked in your book that we are about to sing, very appropriate as we finalize and conclude this lesson. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you made that decision? If you have, will you repent of your sins and be baptized in His name and faithfully follow Him till you receive the crown of life? If you are in need of responding to the invitation, would you come now as we stand and we sing?